This call may be recorded. Hey. Press 1 to accept.
Hey.
Hey.
What happened to you?
I had to clean up my car, get it out of the driveway to honor what CA asked me to do.
Oh. You got dirt on the driveway?
No, my car was in the driveway of the house next door, and he was worried that the people across the street would not like that.
Oh, so you just had to move your car?
Yes, but I had the trailer, so I had to move the trailer too and unhook it and plug it in. And.
Oh, okay.
Did you want to come fix the toilet? Okay. Do you recognize the negative impact on my life and on the kids' life when you were over here on Sunday and Monday? So you recognize the positive effects.
I'm sorry that I upset you before I left. Trying to do that and I left and became upset.
What?
I'm sorry that you got upset when I said that Kevin Law my friend anymore.
Well,
and
I mean,
when they got upset, I left because I'm not trying to upset you.
Okay, so that tells me that you don't see it. You don't see that all that time you were sitting out in the backyard with me on Mother's Day while the kids were inside having their dinner was negative for their development.
I did not remember that until you said it. So, yes, now I remember that we sat outside, but...
And you don't recognize...
I'm not trying to pull you away from our kids. I thought you wanted to talk to me. That's why I was talking to you.
Yeah, but I don't want to continue to have these talks. I don't want to continue this cycle. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to be responsible for helping you see things about your relationship with Kevin or see things or help you or I don't want to do that. It's damaging to the kids. It's damaging to me. It's not going anywhere. I'm not able to convince you of anything. If it was possible for me to convince you of anything, I would have done it a long time ago.
I just need you to help me with a therapist. I do need you to, but you're not obligated to, and I'm not...
I know, but I'd like to stop hearing. I thought I made it pretty clear yesterday that I don't need you to say that ever again. You've said it hundreds of times, and most of those times it wasn't truthful.
It doesn't make any sense for us to get divorced without trying to work through our problems with an actual therapist.
But I don't appreciate you saying that because
I know that
I've
you
tried.
Don't appreciate it, but
because
no, you haven't.
Tried. Yes, I have.
No,
tried.
You haven't.
Yes, I have tried. And
I'd like
you to stop. I'd like you to stop saying that. You've said it 4 times already. I'd like you to stop.
I'm never going to stop saying that because it's not okay for us to get divorced without trying to work through our problems with a therapist.
I have tried, and I want you to stop saying. I know, but I want you to stop accusing me of. I know, but I'd like you to stop accusing me of not having done that. And the reason is not because you and I need to agree on that. The reason is because I need to make a decision about whether you're someone who is safe to have in the building I live in with my children long enough to fix the toilet.
I can't help you with that. I am safe to fix the toilet. I didn't fix the toilet on purpose. And it doesn't
you're
make
not.
Sense for us to get divorced without trying to get therapy.
You need to stop.
Just
I need
a fact.
You to stop. I need you. It doesn't matter if it's a fact, Justin.
Oh.
I need you to stop saying it over and over.
That's actually not true.
It's going to be your decision whether you can continue to support me when I'm a single mom. There's not a whole lot of single moms who have somebody on speed dial who can show up and fix whatever's broken in their home without them having to hire a professional handyman, $75.
You should not be a single mom.
Don't fix me that way. You're not accomplishing anything. You can't convince me of seeing things your way. I can't convince you to see things my way. That's well established, and it's not my fault, and I'm tired of being blamed for it. And I'm tired of having these conversations with you. And I just want
you're the one that called me, Erin.
I'm calling you.
You don't need to call me and convince me that we should get divorced when that's not accurate.
I don't need to convince you of that because that's not something that's up to you.
You don't need to call me and convince me that you're getting an ethical divorce when we're not. It's not going
to,
that day is never coming.
I don't need you to lie to me about my motives for calling you. I'm an intelligent person, and I thought about what I wanted
before
the
conversation.
Okay, so I can tell you what my motives were, but you can't tell me what my motives were. I'm going to tell you that I did not call you to convince you that we need to get divorced. Why? Because that's not something you need to be convinced of. Why? Because it's not something you're ever going to do. It's something that I am going to do. And you're well aware that you don't have any control over that. But I'm concerned about your emotional well-being.
I'm not saying that I had any control over it. I'm saying you're calling me trying to say that it's righteous for us to get divorced, and that's not accurate.
No, I'm not calling you to convince you of that. I'm calling you to paint a picture for you of how with you having no reason to be on this earth, no reason to be alive other than to try to make sure that we remained married, you are not fulfilling God's purpose in creating you. You are not serving him. You are not loving him. You are not doing anything good for me. You are not doing anything good for your children. That's not a noble goal in and of itself.
Okay. It's also
it's not
a noble goal to marry somebody else and have them raise my kids more than me. That's not a noble goal. And
I just wanted to offer you an opportunity to be involved in our household in a positive way.
I'm happy to fix your toilet.
Because I care about you, and that would be good for you. But you've been really bad to me on this phone call. I've not been bad to you. I don't think that if you could agree to actually do things for me and the kids that are good and cease to do things that are harmful and destructive and chaotic.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I liked the part of you coming over on Mother's Day where we talked about my surgery. I liked the part of you coming over on Mother's Day where we talked about your visit to the playground. I liked the part on Monday where I got to drive to Publix and back. I liked the part on Monday where you read the kids a bedtime story. There are good things that you have to contribute to my household. And then there are also destructive behaviors that you engage in. And we don't have to continue the destructive behaviors. They are not pleasing to God. I don't have to continue to point out your faults. I don't have to continue to blame you for our marriage ending. I don't have to continue to tell you that it's your fault that people are scared to talk to you. I don't have to keep doing that. We can
Well,
We can stop that. And we can just be functional parents. And we can be good parents. And we can be parents who live righteously and please the Lord. I'm offering that to you. And I think that there was a lot of darkness for you when I didn't speak to you at all in November and December. I think that that was very difficult for you. I think that you didn't know what to do with that. I think that you didn't see any point in being on this earth if I wasn't even going to speak to you. I think that is not an emotionally good place for you. But I'd like you to be able to connect the dots between the behaviors that you engage in while you're here that push me in the direction of thinking that I need to have a no-contact style of parenting with you after divorce.
I don't get it. I think you asked me about Kevin, and I told you my opinion about Kevin, which is based on facts.
Okay, and the fact that you don't get it, though, is what will cause us to have a style of parenting after divorce that doesn't look like what you might feel you're entitled to. But your sense of entitlement to being in our home and the way you want to be in our home is not based in reality, and it's not based on what's best for your kids. I wasn't upset about it.
I think it would be best for our kids if we got therapy with a therapist and worked through our issues.
Okay, well, I'd like you to
best for our kids.
I think I've made it clear that I'd like you to stop saying that, and you're choosing to say it anyway.
I think I've made it clear that it's not okay to divorce when you haven't made an effort to do that.
I do feel like you've made that clear. Thank you for sharing that opinion with me. And I think that that tells me a lot about your character when you choose to keep repeating that, knowing that that is something that I specifically asked you not to repeat. I think that tells me that when I give you information about myself, such as something that is going to be upsetting to me, I think that you record that and you put that on replay because you know that repeating that is something that's going to get a rise out of me. And I think you feel like you have power and control over me when you get upset, when you get me upset. Yeah, but you're repeating something for no reason, but for no reason, it's not because you think that I didn't hear you the first time. You're positive I heard you all 20 times. You know that I heard you because I specifically asked you 7 times not to say it ever again. So you have a reason for speaking that truth that has nothing to do with relaying information that you think I don't already have. You have a reason for speaking that truth that is related to my request that you not say that anymore. And that tells me so much about your integrity, tells me so much about your character, tells me so much about your motives, it tells me so much about how you care about my feelings, tells me so much about what kind of behavior I can expect from you, tells me so much about your ability to understand how your words, actions, and behaviors affect other people. It tells me so much about how you think you have the right to upset other people.
I'm sorry.
So you made a decision. You made it clear that you would literally, you said, I will never stop saying that over and over because it's true. That was your response to being asked not to repeat something. I will never stop saying that.
I'm sorry.
So it's not my fault that I'm not going to therapy with you. I've definitely gone to therapy with you. And there's nothing that I can do.
He went
to
2 sessions.
There's nothing that I can do to fix.
He crossed you one time, and then you quit.
I know, but you're still being abusive. You're still engaging in really destructive behaviors. These things are not something that couples therapy fixes. And I went to enough therapy with you to see what your intention was in using those sessions. So now I know.
My intention is to get to the truth so that we can live in peace.
No, your intention is to never stop saying that it's my fault no matter what.
What's your fault?
that we are getting divorced. With your intention is to never agree that it's possible that you have broken this marriage irreparably.
And I've what?
That you've irreparably broken our marriage covenant. You don't have any intention of
your
way around to that
truth. Irreparably breaking your marriage covenant.
Okay, then there's no point in me going to counseling with you. There's
the
no
entire
point.
Point of going to counseling was to convince me that it's okay for you to divorce me, is what you're saying?
If you automatically recognize that while you were cheating on Julie, before I found out you were cheating on Julie.
I was cheating on Julie?
Yeah, if you already knew.
What did
know,
you say?
If you already knew while you were cheating on me that you were irreparably breaking our marriage covenant, and nobody needed to tell, you that, then that means you would be a different kind of person. You would be a person who is capable of understanding the abuse that you've exacted on your wife. And if you were capable of understanding the abuse, then you would be able to properly repent of it. But you're not a man who is capable of understanding the damage that you've done to your marriage, because evidently you don't believe that such a thing exists. As being able to, you don't believe that such a thing exists as being able to irreparably damage your marriage covenant. You believe that literally you can do anything that you want to do to a person, and somehow that person has some kind of moral obligation to continue to subject themselves to the risk of that happening again, even while it's still happening. I have no idea what behavior you think is extreme enough, because I can't think of more extreme behaviors.
I damaged our marriage covenant, and
You're still doing it.
What am I doing?
You're still damaging it.
You're still minimizing, and you're still blame shifting.
I'm minimizing? What does that mean?
You're saying that you did not irreparably damage our marriage. You think that
irreparably damaging our marriage means that it can't be repaired, and that we are divorced. And
I think that God can help us
forgive one another. That's not true.
I forgave you before you did it, Dustin. You were like, you really want to imagine that there's anything you've ever done that I haven't forgiven you for?
If you're telling me that I'm a terrible person, then...
Well, that's not my fault. That has nothing to do with my capacity to forgive. You're completely...
Well, you clearly haven't forgiven me.
I clearly have forgiven you. I'm not angry with you. I've just told you that we could be done with me bringing up your past sins forever. Like, right now. That's not a problem or an issue for me. I don't feel a need to dwell or ruminate on it. But that doesn't mean that I have to continue to subject myself to, like, legitimate risk. And it doesn't mean that it would be good for me to trust you. Like, it's possible for you to repent, and it's possible for me to forgive you, and it still to be a good thing for me not to trust you. Because I recognize that being in a relationship with you comes with an extremely high risk of you doing things that are going to be damaging to the peace of our household.
just like you did yesterday and just like you did the day before.
So based on this conversation that we're having right now, my feeling is that I should get someone else to fix the toilet.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I'm sorry that you think that I don't feel responsible for harming you. And I'm sorry that you feel like I don't feel the burden of that when I do.
I don't think you do because you're still doing it. And
I don't know what you think I'm still doing. I go
okay.
to work,
well, then that's,
I send you
I
all of
feel...
my money. I
yeah.
come over and fix things for you whenever you ask me.
So you're not talking about the things that you're doing that are damaging. And
I don't know what you're saying.
That...
You haven't said anything that I'm doing.
But you could listen to our past 6 phone conversations. I mean, it's amazing like how much I have named and repeated and explained and analyzed and just put in like hundreds of hours of outlining what the destructive behavior is. And you can say to me, I can't think of any destructive behaviors that I'm engaging in. All I do is give you all my money and fix things for you and take care of your kids.
You're saying that I'm damaging
when I come
over to your house and you ask me questions and I answer them. Like,
yeah, but your answers to those questions, they're proof that I should not be married to you.
I don't understand that. I asked Aaron Bell to go to counseling with me. He's not interested. He hasn't responded.
Okay. Well, that's kind of an odd thing that you just said there, but I'll let it
what's
slide.
What's about asking Aaron Bell to go? What's odd about asking? You've been asking me to do that for forever, so.
Dustin, he cut part of his thumb off.
I didn't tell him, come to me with half your thumb off. I said, I know that you're busy, but I've been considering having you go to therapy with me when you are able to think about it. Think about it.
Okay. I don't... I think I've been expending a lot of energy trying to help you connect dots in your relationships, and I think I need to be done.
I offered to go finish his chicken coop. You're treating me like some horrible person for...
I'm not. What you did yesterday was fine, but your analysis of it today, like that you could say what you said, which anybody
analysis. I told you what I did.
I know, but you left out the part about him possibly not being conscious, possibly being on narcotics.
Well, he is conscious because he responded to me when I offered to rebuild his chicken coop.
Okay. You're not, I'm just saying it doesn't. I don't want to do this with you. I
don't understand what you're saying. All I did was tell you, I invited our pastor to go to counseling with me. I didn't say, and he sucks because he won't do it with half his thumb. Like, nobody thinks that.
I know, but you were like, he won't do it. And then you were like, or he didn't respond.
Well, I hope he does it. We'll see.
Okay.
According to you, he thinks I'm going to murder him, so.
I don't know if he thinks that or not, but based on your behaviors, like if I had done the behaviors that you had done, I would definitely be checking in with people and telling them that I'm fully aware that that would be reasonable if they were feeling fears like that. And I would be willing to listen to what their fears were and take them seriously and own that those fears were something that were legitimately caused by me. That's just what I would do if I found myself in the position of having done those kinds of disturbing things.
Offering to kick the chicken coop and go to counseling?
No, you know, that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to stuff that you did in December and January. That was scary.
Sorry, I scared you.
Thanks. But I think I need to be done. And I'm wanting to find ways out of my love for you to continue to be supportive of you as an individual. And I'm wanting to find ways to help you emotionally, and I'm wanting, to support our children being at least a small percent of, like, what you see your purpose for being on this planet as. Like, I want you to be able to be involved as a real father in a real meaningful way. I'm trying here.
You're not trying, Erin. Our relationship is faulty because of psychological issues that should be analyzed with a therapist, and I'm sorry to have to say that, but it is not right to eliminate me from our children's life.
That's not true.
You're trying to marry somebody else so that they can raise my children, and that is not okay. It's not ever going to be okay.
Well, actually, it is.
No, it's not.
It is. Yeah, it actually is.
No, it's actually
it
not.
It and doesn't have to be what you want.
You don't legally need me on board to do that, but that doesn't make it okay. And it's
okay. That's your opinion. Thanks for sharing it with me, I guess. But obviously when I do what I'm going to do, you can choose to still be a good father. Like, you don't have to say,
that's true. I'm not going to be their father. I'm not going to be their father. I'm not going to be in the house. I'm not going to be raising them. I'm not going to be married to their mother. She's going to marry somebody else, even though that is highly questionable. This is not an okay situation. And
well, it can be not okay with you.
No, I'm not talking about with me. I'm talking about morally it is wrong.
Okay, it can be morally wrong. Like, it is possible for me to do something that is morally wrong and for you to respond by doing something that is morally right. That's possible. And it would be the right thing for you to do, to respond to my sin by doing something morally right.
Well, I'm sorry I irreparably harmed our marriage, and I would give anything to change it.
Well, you already told me that you're never going to believe that you irreparably harmed our marriage. So I don't really see how you can have actual contrition for something that you don't believe you did.
I think that God can fix our marriage. And so when you say irreparably, that implies
right.
that he can't.
Right.
But when I say irreparably now is that obviously it doesn't matter that I'm sorry. It doesn't matter that I wish that I had treated you better.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, you're not treating me better, so it's just a wish.
What?
I said you can wish that you treat me better, but you're not treating me better. So it's just a wish.
How can I learn to treat you better?
I don't know. I mean, I've done everything that I know to do, and it's not helped, so I'm giving up.
I want you to be happy.
Yeah. Well, I want you to sit down with me and come up with a divorce settlement that is going to allow you to be an active and positive influence throughout your children's entire lives. Lucy deserves for you to be the one to walk her down the aisle when she gets married. I don't have a goal of replacing you.
Not true.
As her father.
Not true. And I don't know. I don't really want to argue about it.
Yeah, you don't need to tell me what my goals are. You don't need to tell me what my motives are.
You've already told me what your goals are.
Yeah. But that's because my children are being damaged by having a chaotic, dysfunctional marriage modeled for them. That doesn't make you not their father.
I'm really interested in arguing about it. I am interested in becoming a better person that can serve you better.
I think you need to do that no matter what.
Well, but you know that that's important to me, and that it's been important to me, and that I'm trying the best I can.
All right. Are you willing to write a settlement with me?
Just write it.
Huh?
Just write it. I'll sign it.
Well, I think that you need to take some responsibility for what you need in order for you to be a good father.
not going to be a father, Aaron.
I think that you need to take responsibility that you are a father and you are going to be a father.
Well.
And it's not right. It's not right for you to leave me with no father for my children.
You need to find a father for your children that you can actually
get
along
with. Okay, well, that's going to be pretty hard for me to do without you co-parenting with me. Yeah, it is. And honestly, if you're going
to
put me in the situation,
I'm going to support you in that anyway. Like,
if you're going to put me in the situation of being completely single and not having my kids go with their dad any weekends, and me having to be the one
I'm
to watch
my kids, so that you can go on dates and have an adulterous marriage, like.
You're not going to take your kids on the weekends. So we went from 50% or else I'm a terrible mother for not having them with you all week, every other week, to you're not even willing to take them one weekend per month. That's the kind of father you are?
I don't care, Aaron. You can write it up however you want. I'll sign it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that you need to be an active participant. You need to make a commitment about what kind of father
that commitment
you can
is
be.
To keep working on our marriage as long as I can until it kills me. That's what I commit to you.
That's not what I'm asking for. I'm asking you to parent.
Would you like me to come over and spend the 2 minutes it would take to fix your toilet?
No.
Okay. You're going to spend our money to pay somebody
don't
to
speak,
come.
Don't speak to me that way. I'll
fix the toilet.
I don't need to answer to you for how I'm going to fix my toilet. And you
well,
don't need to talk down. You don't need to talk down to me like I'm. You don't need to
using
stop.
Our money though instead of me.
You don't need to. You don't. You don't need to talk down to me like that.
I'm not talking down to you.
Yeah, you are. No. You're framing it as though I'm spending money I should not spend. You're framing it as though I would be a wise woman if I allowed you into my house, but I'm a foolish woman if I don't. You don't need to do that. I'm intelligent, and I'm capable, and I can take care of it, and I don't need you to shame me for how I go about doing so.
I wasn't trying to shame you. I was asking, are you going to spend our money to fix the toilet versus having me fix it?
Okay, well, I'm not answering that.
CA is going to go to my counseling tomorrow.
Okay.
Or into it.
Okay. Well, I want to divorce you. And if you are really thinking that you are going to make changes on your end, and you have things that you want to work through with your therapist, I think it would be good for you to stop arguing with me and stop fighting with me.
I'm not trying to argue with you.
I know, but obviously you do it even if you try not to. And I think that, I think that even if you made those changes, I would not be interested in remarrying you later if you are not engaged as, just as a father. I mean, if you're just gonna say, well, I'm divorced, therefore I'm not going to...
There's no such thing as remarriage, Erin. That's not biblical. You can't remarry somebody that you divorce. Well, first.
What? What are you talking about?
What am I talking
about? That's just, you don't... Like, you owe it to yourself to read the Bible.
I did.
Because
that's why I'm telling you, you're not going to divorce me.
You did not. You did not. I don't believe you.
Yes, I did. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe me.
You read the whole Bible.
No.
Okay,
well,
that's what I'm talking about. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about now. Like, if you're going to be making these huge and actually crazy life decisions, and you're going to be a terrible father. You are. You're talking about being a terrible father to your children based on a really warped understanding of the Bible. If you're going to do that, you owe it to yourself and those poor little kids to actually read the whole thing. It's the least you can do.
Okay. That being said, I did read the part about not remarrying. So,
you what?
You might as well read that part again yourself. Because you're not divorcing me and then us getting remarried. That's not guilty.
What? Babe. What are you talking about?
Did you make a friend request from my Facebook?
No. Why?
This was a old lady from Honey Lake. I must have friend requested her forever ago, and she just accepted it. I didn't remember her last name.
I just want to be clear. You think that if I divorce you, that would not be a real and valid divorce because our marriage covenant is lifelong. So in God's eyes, we would still be married. However,
well, obviously you're
if we then had
your,
a second,
our marriage
if we had
vows,
a second, if we had a second wedding ceremony, then we would cease to be married, even though we had been married during the divorce period, and God would be displeased by the renewal of our vows.
I mean, if you're going to get married to somebody else, when you're married to them, you're not married to me, and you can't divorce them either. Just...
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right. Well, fine.
But I guess... I don't really appreciate this idea that we need to finalize our divorce settlement, and then, like, magically, I just, like, am suddenly married to a different person. Like, it's really not right for you to put me in the position of needing that, because I could be single for the rest of my life. But you should be a good father to your children, so that your wife isn't in a position of needing to be desperate for a new partner. Because I need to not
you have
be desperate.
$400,000 and your skills and a house. You do not need me.
I do need you.
No, you don't.
I actually do.
You don't.
Yeah, because nobody else can be a father to your children.
You're going to pick a father for my children, and it's not going to be me.
No, I'm going to pick a spouse who can help me model godly marital relationship for your kids. Or I'm going to stay single forever. That's not really for you to decide.
Not deciding anything, Aaron. You're deciding everything, and...
I don't think that's right. I think you need to make some decisions for yourself. Hmm?
Okay.
Oh, I needed to ask you something. Can you hear me?
Yep.
You had like an email, that subject line had something to do with your credit score going down.
Okay.
Do you have something that like monitors your credit score and sends you updates and stuff?
I have Credit Karma, but you use it.
Well, I just wonder if you could like from that more recent email access whatever the part is that kind of shows the, you know, category that caused your credit score to go down kind of thing. Because I didn't look at it, but I know kind of how those are normally laid out.
Okay.
Because do you know of any reason your credit score would have gone down? Hello?
No, I don't know why.
So I don't know if there's things that haven't been paid on time or...
But I'll check.
Possibly we're using a greater percentage of available credit because we've been using those two.
They haven't been, but Fidelity card quit working.
Well, no, you maxed it out, which was the strategy to give us more cash available to pay off the city.
Okay.
So I do think we've utilized a much higher percentage, and if that's the only reason... What?
I'm sure that's probably why then.
Okay. Which there, you know, there is cash available to pay the city down, which was the idea, was pay the city down by the same amount that the Amex, or what was it, the Fidelity card went up. Do you want me to go ahead and do that, or is there a coronavirus reason to retain cash, or?
Oh, well, just wouldn't trust them to leave that credit available if you pay it down, so it's cash.
Well, you don't need to keep the credit available on the city, though, because that's a really high interest rate.
If that's high interest rate, and that's what you want to use cash for, then that would make more sense. My lawyer never gave us our money back.
Oh, why is that?
That should be $10,000, and should have a.
I'm sorry. You're actually cutting out a ton.
We should have money coming from the 2008 tax return at some point.
Yeah. What?
I forget how much, but it was about $1,000.
What?
I forget how much, but it was thousands of dollars.
Okay.
Make me happy.
I can't hear you. You're breaking up. I don't know if you went somewhere where you don't have good reception or if you switched microphones. But I haven't been able to hear you very much for the last minute. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
It would make me happy to serve you by coming and fixing your toilet, which I promise will take less than 3 minutes, and I promise I won't say anything to you.
Yeah. I already told you that I don't want you to do that. I want you to work through what you need to work through to be a different kind of person, and maybe even just communication for you would be enough for you to be able to, fix the toilet without any damage being done.
Not going to be able to work on anything because nobody will communicate their problems to my therapist, and my therapist thinks that I am totally normal. Which is the same as the other therapists that have worked with me.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously I read your intake paperwork.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
It means that I completely, 1,000% concur with their analysis of the data they were given.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm just me with my perspective. I can only give them my perspective. So
I know.
I'll keep going.
Good.
Did you hear back about your cancer?
No. Did you?
Hear back about your cancer?
Did you?
No, how would I hear anything about your cancer?
I don't know. You just asked me, did you hear? Like, there was some news to hear. I didn't know what it is that you know that I don't know.
Well, didn't they say that you get your results back in a week? That's been more than a week.
Well, no, they said it might be 2 weeks. But also, they scheduled my follow-up visit for next Tuesday. So I don't think that this is the type of thing where they would be in a rush to give me my pathology when I don't have the ability to, discuss it and ask questions about it and come up with a plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the kind of thing that they would deliver during an office visit.
Okay. So if they say that it wasn't cancer, does that mean that they, like, literally did it for nothing?
Well, I mean, you can say that, except that's the only way to rule it out. So, well, I can say the only way, like, we did the biopsy. So we could have done another biopsy and it would have also been indeterminate. We could have done another biopsy and it would have also been indeterminate. And honestly, the biopsies are pretty, like, kind of involved procedures. And potentially, even if we got like a biopsy eventually that came back benign, I might still be looking at needing to go in every 6 to 12 months to have another ultrasound on it to make sure that it still looks benign. So, you know, it's a rule out, even if it didn't need to be removed. I don't have to worry about it developing into anything in the future, at least.
I just suddenly got scared that I gave you cancer.
What?
I just suddenly got scared that I might have given you cancer.
Why?
Making you stressed out.
Stress causes cancer?
I wouldn't rule it out.
Did you have sexual contact with anyone else?
No.
Because that can cause cancer.
Thyroid cancer?
No.
Good, because I was going to say that would be weird. I've never had sex with anybody else in my life.
Have you had any contact, though?
No.
With other people's?
No, I have not. Have you?
No.
How did you figure out that you had a thyroid problem?
PCP.
Primary care?
Yeah.
So what PCP is?
Huh?
I couldn't remember if PCP meant primary care.
Oh.
Were they, like, run blood work and think that it was wrong? Or?
No. No, they literally were just talking to me and running their hands down my neck, which probably is something that you don't even notice that the doctor is doing to you while they're asking you questions and listening to your heartbeat and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're actually doing something.
Huh. So, like, literally felt it inside you?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. She, I mean, it was kind of like a top to bottom. She was like, let me look at your eyes. Let me look at your nose. Open your mouth and say, ah. You know, runs her hands down my neck, getting ready to pick up the stethoscope to listen to my heart. Like, but as she does that, she feels the cancer. Like,
huh. That's pretty crazy. Well, good on you for going to the doctor. I haven't been in ages.
Well, no, I was having issues. I had my first sore throat back in the beginning of July, and then I had had some chronic sore throat starting in August. And there was, like, tonsillitis. Oh, and like reflux that I think still happens because of how much reflux I had during my pregnancies.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. When you started having that, they warned us that you might get cancer.
Right, but that was esophageal.
Okay.
But anyway, there was stuff going on that was kind of motivating me to get in there, especially as soon as I got insurance.
Yeah.
But I went in there like telling the PCP, like, I think I have an STD from my husband.
What?
Yeah.
What STD did you think you had?
Like throat chlamydia or something.
Is that a real thing?
Probably. I think they all can, you know.
I would never do that.
Viral infections or...
I would not do that.
Yeah, I know, but you've really done way worse than that, so...
I'm sorry.
I don't know what else to say besides you're still doing it, so.
You're still having an affair?
No, you're still doing worse than that.
Maybe someday God will help me understand what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. How is Men of Peace going?
I'm behind. It's scary because it's all predicated on... Described the process to my therapist, and he says that it sounds like the program's abusive to the participants. But it did help me understand some of the terminology you've been using with me about power and control. Would you like me to send you my material that I filled out?
Are you supposed to?
I don't know.
Well, what did they say?
I mean, I think how it's supposed to work is you're supposed to send an advocate.
Yeah, but are you supposed to give me your material or not?
You don't really say.
Well, what's the material for?
It's like worksheets.
Yeah, but why? Who is it for?
Like worksheets that I fill out.
For who? Oh, just for yourself.
I mean, I submit them back on there so he supposedly can see them, but he's never really done anything with them.
Yeah. But it's for yourself, basically.
Yeah. But I mean, okay. They're mine. I can share them. I would
yeah.
them with you if you want to see them.
Yeah.
But I'm totally going to keep doing it because there have been helpful parts of it that I don't know. I didn't like that you sign up for it and you fill out all this paperwork and he's got this, you know, indemnification thing in there. And it's not until you get started, he starts off by like, hey, list a few things that from this list that you think that you've done to your spouse. Of course I do it. And then, like, module two, it's like, well, now that you've made that list, you have admitted that you are an evil, evil, manipulative, you know, mm-hmm. abuser. And therefore, everything that you say is false, everything your spouse says is true, and if you get to the end of this program and you have any disagreements with your spouse, then you are proving to everybody that you're an unbeliever, and I will recommend to your church pastors that you be excommunicated from your church. It's just like... seems really inappropriate to me, and it seems like that more or less echoes my treatment in our church, and I just...
Yeah.
I don't think that you and I having a disagreement over something that's too long ago for either one of us to be reasonably 100% assured of our memory of is the hinge on which everybody judges my salvation and my fitness and to be
yeah, I don't
a husband
think,
and my
I don't think that anybody's worried about any. I don't think anybody's worried about anything that you've done prior to 3 months ago. I really don't think that we're hinging on anything that's historical.
Well, I'm sorry for what I did 3 months ago.
Or 2 weeks ago. I don't know what behavior in the ancient past you are deluding yourself into thinking that people are judging you by, but I promise nobody's doing that.
They think that as long as you think that I'm abusive, that I'm not a Christian, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm doing everything that I can to understand your concerns and to make myself a better person.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm evil or don't care about God. It's because I do.
Okay. I feel like you put a lot more energy into disproving my concerns today than you put into understanding them. And I feel like you put a lot more energy into disproving my concerns yesterday than you put into understanding them. And I feel like you put a lot more energy into disproving my concerns on Sunday than you put into understanding them. And that might be a habit that's going to be really hard for you to change.
I wish I had a better memory.
Why?
Like he's part of the problem. Because I don't...
No, all we've got, you've got phone recordings.
But your concerns weren't recorded, and I don't remember you telling me concerns.
I've told you loads of concerns on our phone calls. You can listen to the phone calls, and if you say, okay, I'm speaking, let me pause it. Okay, that thing that I just said, did that represent that I'm trying to understand her concern, or did that represent that I'm trying to argue against her concern and tell her that it's not a valid concern? And you can just go through everything that you say for hundreds of hours now. And you can look at each statement And you can write the statement down and you can say, oh, there's a statement in which I'm trying to convince my wife that her concerns are not valid. Oh, okay, there's another statement in which I'm trying to convince my wife that her concerns are not valid. There's another statement where I'm trying to convince my wife that her concerns are not valid. You could just do that all day and all night. You're not going to find statements that show that you're trying to understand.
That. I'm sorry.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know about the excommunication component of all of that. I don't know.
He sure does. He holds this. I'm sure that's why you've got this indemnification agreement.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
I
don't know.
I mean, you believe me
that's part of it? Because it definitely
is.
Oh,
no. I don't know, possibly my role as a female has relieved me of the high responsibility that God gives to some people to have to exercise wisdom and an understanding of church membership and, you know, stuff that I'm grateful that I'm not really called to have to get into or understand. So I guess I'm not interested in making any, you know, claims of knowing what the best way is to handle that, or, you know.
Well, it's not the kind of people into a program where you tell them after they're involved in it that if they don't agree
100%
with somebody else, that they're not a Christian. Like, it's just completely illogical.
But, I mean, did you at that point, like, ask, did you at that point say, I think that this was a predatory to get me in here and I'd like my money back?
No, because I still want to do the program.
Right, but you're representing the program to other people as predatory. And you're not really, giving them the opportunity to make it, you're not really giving Chris the opportunity to make that right with you.
He hasn't. I guess you would just have to see him talk about it, but he's not really interested in your opinion, and if you say anything about it, then he's going to recommend you get excommunicated. Like, I don't need that on my plate, so. Up until then, I was like, some of his videos are decent, and some of his videos really suck. I could easily edit these for him and have the audio be so much more clear while I'm watching it, as an act of service. And then I'm like, he's totally a predator. I'm not going to do that. But there's good content in there, and I'm still going to do the program, and I'm not talking about it to anybody other than you and my therapist.
Yeah.
To CA, because he was asking me about it. I don't really care if he says that I need to be excommunicated, because I feel like they're halfway on
that path
already.
That's what I was thinking. I just feel like If that is your overall, like, takeaway and concern about going through the program, you're probably going to get less out of it.
No, I don't care.
So, I know, but I asked you about it, and that's all you talked about for 5 minutes. That you told your therapist, and he thinks that it's abusive of the participants, and you can't believe that in the first module they had you check off the behaviors without telling you that in the second module that they were going to threaten to, like, you don't sound very focused on the actual content, which is what I would have expected you to bring up when I asked you how it was going.
I did talk to you about the content.
Okay, I didn't. I didn't receive any information from you about the content. And you did talk about your concerns about losing your church membership for an extended period of time. And I feel like I got a lot of information from you about that.
Sorry. He has good content that helps me understand some of what you're saying about power and control. It has helped me reflect on things that I've done historically that were not right, that I need to repent of now.
Have you identified any of those?
Yes. I can send you my worksheets. I don't remember them right now.
Well, that's concerning.
Sorry. So, like, right after I did a module, I had to go to Home Depot for work.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a work van there for some, like, electrical company or something.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the name of the company is?
I don't know.
In, like, big, bold letters with, like, some crazy logo, it said, Power and Control.
Oh, wow. Like electricians?
Yeah.
Is that Thomas Wade's new company?
I, like, snuck a picture of it. One good thing happened at work today.
What's that?
I had one of my investors walk this duplex that I built for, like, their final walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they texted me and said, well, we wrote down these couple of nitpicky things, but in all of the 30 houses that we've built with the company, yours was the fastest and the best. We're going to tell your boss and Richard.
Aww. Did that have anything to do with coronavirus?
No. Not really.
I mean, a lot of cards have to fall in the right place for something to be fast.
I think I was just on top of it, which I always am, which is easier because they've been giving me a lighter load. So maybe that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was suicidal. but also the last guy that was out there ended up, like, quitting and wasn't happy. But there's only a few buildings there, and they've built 30, evidently, so.
Okay.
And I thought that was nice. Especially after the day I had
my mom. After what? Jean.
The day I had my mom called Jean today.
Yeah.
So she came out, and she's bugging me now to call my mother every day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I tried to tell her. I was like, Jean, I just talked to her on Sunday, and I told her I will call her every week. She keeps calling me and asking me if I'm dead. I cannot be responsible for her. She said, yeah, but it's your mother. You just need to call her every day. Or at least text her, she says.
But did you tell her did you tell her that your mother is a liar and that she's perhaps demon-possessed and that she's done terrible things to your dad and to your sister and that she's not good for your mental and emotional health?
Well, I told her that last part, and I think she kind of got it, but she still says,
yeah,
it doesn't matter, and she's your mother, and you got to call her.
Yeah, but you can't say, well, my emotional health doesn't matter, if you understand. I'm not saying I'm stressed because it's stressful to have my mom check on me. I'm saying that she has interfered in my life in a way that has severely damaged my ability to have healthy relationships and severely damaged my relationship with my wife. And you can't tell me that I'm obligated to continue to subject myself to that, Jean. And if you're going to continue to pressure me to do things that are not healthy for myself and my wife and my children, then I'm going to have to stop taking your calls, too. Because you're crossing a boundary right now that's not okay. It doesn't matter what you think about my mom or me or my responsibility to my mom. You're not going to come here and fuck with my mind like this. It's my life, and you need to stay out of it, and I'm going to continue to do good work for you.
I did not say that, no.
Okay.
If I did, I might as well quit, because I'm talking about my boss's boss's boss, basically.
What? You're saying that Richard supports her coming around and bullying people to do things that are going to put their mental health in jeopardy?
I don't think that he would see it that way.
Well, it's your responsibility to tell them. You've gotta be able to advocate for your own boundaries. And you've got to understand that people who are going to bully you that way or be minions of your mother are not people that you need to be working for anyways. So.
She's not trying to bully me.
Yeah, she's telling you that it doesn't matter how much harm it is doing to you. You need to call your mother anyways just because she's your mother. That's not okay. She's not qualified to make those kinds of decisions for your life. And she needs to fully appreciate the ramifications of what she's doing to you.
She's not doing anything to me, honey.
Yes, she is. She told you that you need to call your mother
call
no
my
matter.
Mother. She can't make me. I didn't call her.
I don't think it's okay for people to talk to their employees that way. I don't think that you should have to put up with it.
What she's really doing is trying to express that she cares about me and doesn't want me dead. That's the bottom line.
She thinks that calling your mother every day is going to keep you alive?
No. I think she just happens to think that I should do that. And also thinks that if she shows that she cares about me, that that'll help me emotionally.
Well, Jean, you want to help me emotionally, you need to never, ever tell me to call my mother again. Because every time you tell me to call my mother, I'm going to think that you care more about not having to be inconvenienced by a crazy lady than you care about me being alive. That doesn't feel like you care very much about me at all.
That's not even true. I think she does it because she cares about me.
Yeah, but if she understands what's healthy and good for you and she chooses to do the opposite, then that's not care. If she doesn't understand what's healthy and good for you because you're not telling her, then that's on you.
Sorry, I broke your toilet.
What is this language about power and control that you say you understand now?
Language?
Yeah.
I didn't really understand why you thought that I had some... I'm telling you what my perspective was before. I didn't understand why you would say that I had some power over you or controlled you, and I literally can't control you, and...
Mm-hmm.
Don't actually have any power to make you do things. Like, it didn't make any sense, and it's not like I kept you locked up and didn't. Well, they talk about how abusers, like, control all the money and checkbook and give people an allowance, and so I just didn't.
Which you, yeah, but you obviously did do financial abuse. But I know what you mean. I understand that it was not overt.
Okay. Well, I was going to say they talked about how some of the behavioral stuff that I did that was shocking would affect you into being scared to do other things. Like when I would open the front door naked, how that would scare you. And so even though after that, I wasn't perceiving that I had power over you that would still affect you into doing things that I wanted versus what you wanted.
Right, because of the fear of you doing something crazy again. Which was your absolute intention when you did the crazy thing.
Honestly, my intention wasn't to control you. My intention.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It absolutely. It was a punishment for doing something that was different than what you wanted. You absolutely, absolutely were trying to modify my behavior. And I have a 2-hour phone call in which you explain in great detail what your intention was. So you can't change it now.
Okay, well, obviously you don't remember that conversation, but my recollection was that I did it to tell your parents that they're not welcome at my house when I had explicitly not wanted them there, and that doesn't mean that that's an okay.
You were trying to teach me a lesson too. I was the one who had conspired with them. I was the one who had brought them over to help me move things. Like, you were making a point to me. What?
I can see how that would intimidate you in other situations.
What?
And so you thought that I was controlling.
No, you actually were controlling. It wasn't on my end. It wasn't my perceptions. You were doing stuff like that to me nonstop. And the reason we get to talk about the one with my mom is because there's a third-party witness.
What else did I do to you without a third-party witness?
Like when you knocked me to the ground in the shower because I left the shower head at the wrong angle?
Sorry, I don't remember that, but that sounds horrible.
When you beat Gracie because I let her sleep on the floor by my feet in your office while you were at JU?
I don't remember that either, I'm sorry. But that's
When you wrestled me onto the couch and took my shoes off my feet to throw them in the dumpster because you thought they needed to be left by the door? When you forced me to wash the dishes in scalding hot water by hand, and I wasn't allowed to add any cold to it. What? What?
I said that some of that's confusing for me. I don't recall requiring you to wash the dishes any kind of way. I just remember that I grew up, that's how we wash the dishes, so that's how I wash dishes.
No, you didn't say, well, this is how I wash dishes. You said, no, that's disgusting. It's the only way to get them clean.
Did it burn you?
It hurt very, very badly. I didn't have to go to the hospital.
Well, I'm sorry.
But, I mean, those are only, you know, physical things. You know how you treated me about my job and my concerns about being whored out to the world, and that you told me that I would be worthless staying at home when there's not even kids to take care of because I'm such a slob anyways. I mean, it's not that big a deal as a one-off conversation, but I think over the course of 12 years, being devalued in that way by you trains me to avoid certain topics. And if there's topics that I have to avoid in order to not be devalued, then how do I really have a voice in these supposedly joint decisions that we somehow made as a team?
I'm sorry I made you feel devalued.
Well, you didn't make me feel devalued. You actually did it.
I'm sorry I didn't value you. You're very precious to me, and I should have.
I know, but we're still at a point where you're telling me that, you never made a decision to work at a different house than when your sleep at a different house than where your family was living on your own, because everything we ever did was a team decision. Yet there's never been a time where I was able to express concerns about my well-being and our children's well-being without being insulted and bullied in some way. Even when you're just talking down to me and saying that I don't understand about projects, or I don't understand about hiring helpers, or I don't understand about the market and how the home has to be at a certain level before you can list it. I mean, you can justify it to yourself as if you're just speaking facts, but in reality, you're not.
Should I express my opinion about something?
Well, I mean, if it's not actually an option for you to list a house as is and take a hit on your profit in order to be able to move on to a venture that's not going to keep you away from your family so much, then you should just take ownership of the fact that you're making decisions unilaterally. And you need to just take ownership of the fact that your family's well-being is not a factor in your decision-making.
I'm sorry, I was bad at that.
that it, I mean, telling me that your career is never going to amount to anything because I keep interrupting you or needing stuff from you when I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old and a newborn, like, and you're already working 65 hours a week. Like, that's, I mean, that's not, that's not expressing your opinion, that, you know what I mean? It's not stating a fact, it's just abuse.
What should I have done in that situation, though?
What?
I mean, I think I had a real concern about being interrupted that while I was trying to work during the day.
Right. You should have said, no, I can't take Lucy over to your mom's house right now. Can you call and ask if she's able to come pick Lucy up?
And how is that different than what I actually said? 'Cause I don't...
You said that you're never going to amount to anything in your career because of me. You tell me, how is that different? Because after you told me that, you know what you did? You took Lucy over to my mom's house. You did nothing to free up your time for that day. You did nothing to minimize the disruption to your schedule, but you did chew me out and dress me down and make me feel like garbage and ensure that I would think twice before I asked you for help next time. And it was intentional on your part, and it was strategic on your part, and you knew what you were doing.
Sorry. I should have cared to you a lot better, Mom.
You should be doing it now.
How can I do it now?
What?
How can I do it now? There's some way I can do that for you now?
What?
How can I do that for you now?
I mean, I guess you could go through all our phone recordings and make notes. Because I've already told you millions of times. And I don't feel good about you putting me in the position right now of having to re-explain it when every time that I've explained it in the past, you've argued against it.
Right.
I don't think I should keep making myself vulnerable in that way.
I'm not sure what we're arguing or what I've argued.
Like, if you're going to ask me what behaviors you're doing right now that are abusive, and we know that we've been going on for several months now of you tricking me into naming a behavior, thinking that it's because you want to see it and understand it and not do it anymore. But then as soon as I actually say the behavior, you minimize, deny, blame shift, and then try to convince me that I have a psychological problem because I'm accusing you of minimizing, denying, and blame shifting, and you're not really doing it. I don't think that I should keep calling for this. I think that there's enough phone recordings that you can listen to if you're making an honest attempt to want to understand what the behaviors are that I'm concerned about. I don't think it's right for you to come to me and try to trick me into naming them again.
I can do that, but I'm asking how I can cherish you.
Yeah, I just told you. I mean, the first half of this phone conversation, I told you a ton. You just go back and listen, and instead of trying to figure out how your wife is a sinner for wanting to divorce you, listen to the conversation with the goal of hearing. What behaviors you're doing that might be slightly less than cherishing. Honestly, after all we've been through, I feel like you might be dipping your toe in the water of switching to a tactic of spiritual abuse against me.
Spiritual abuse?
Yeah. And I don't feel like that's really been a part of our history, but you're flirting with it for sure. Since some of your other, I don't know, tools are being taken away from you.
What is spiritual abuse, honey?
Attempt to control my behavior by invoking God as being the one who wants me to do the thing that you're wanting me to do. Putting me outside of God's will if I don't do the thing that you want me to do. That's pretty strong.
I never think.
Right, but before you tell me your opinion, do you stop and think about what the impact will be on me of you sharing that opinion with me? And when you think about what the impact will be on me, is there any shadow of a desire to influence me and the decisions I make? So before you say stuff, like, stop and think. What impact is this going to have on my wife? Because there's a pretty good chance that you're trying to exert coercive control on me, since that's a little bit of a default for you. It's not a good use of the pipe.
That's still difficult for me to see because I'm usually not trying to control you.
Yeah, you are. You're absolutely, you can go back and listen to this phone conversation. And you know that you made a lot of, you made a lot of attempts to get me to not divorce you. You were making all kinds of arguments for why I should be in therapy with you right now. There's a lot of coercion happening. What?
Sound like the phone went dead.
Oh.
I guess this is where I get a little lost with all this because, like I said, I could understand how you would take a shocking experience and then be fearful of me and whatnot. That doesn't mean that I'm trying to control everything about you. It means that I affected you to make you...
No, I'm not an irrational, unintelligent imaginer of danger to me that's not existing because you're so pure of heart. That's not what's happening.
The way that you're describing this spiritual abuse thing is, the way you have it outlined is you get to have your spiritual opinion and that can be expressed, but I can't express my spiritual opinion because...
Right, because... No, because the purpose of the Bible is for you to have your own personal relationship with your Creator and your Savior. And He gives you His Word so that you can ask Him to search your heart and see if there are any wicked ways in you. And you can read the Proverbs to understand how a wise man interacts with other people and takes counsel from others. That's for you. For your walk with the Lord.
Speak specifically about marriage.
Yeah, but that's I've read the Bible, Dustin. Like, I'm intelligent. I have a relationship with the Lord. I don't think that it is right for you to exert coercion on me relative to whether God is going to be pleased with me or not if I take steps to free myself from the destruction that you've brought into my life. That is not an appropriate application of the Word of God to our situation. An appropriate application is for the blood of Jesus and His great mercy to overwhelm your sensibilities so much that you are transformed at a heart level and you desire to behave in ways that would not be harmful or sinful toward me, and then you actually start behaving in different ways, and whether I need to flee to get away from the destruction or not is a moot point because the destruction is not happening anymore. That would be an appropriate application of the Bible to our situation.
I agree.
But when you pick out a single verse and you say that God doesn't want you to divorce me to me, or I believe that God can heal our marriage and it's your job to go to couples therapy with me in order to be in God's will, that's an inappropriate application of the Bible to our situation. It has a net effect of trying to make me feel as though God will not be pleased with me if I escape from my abuser. That is, I think, a really bad thing to do to somebody. And I think you feel good about doing it when you're doing it. And I think that it feels reasonable and normal to you. And I think that it would offend most people's sensibilities. To hear you talk to a woman that you victimized that way about God. And I don't know if it's that big of a deal, really, because, like I said, it wasn't, I don't really think that you did a whole lot of spiritual abuse back when we were together. So since it's kind of a new thing, I'm relatively unaffected by it. Did you find out what your new counselor's background is in abuse? Thus?
Yeah.
Like, does he have specific trainings he's been to?
I honestly didn't ask about that.
What?
I did not ask about that. They were like, do you want a guy or a girl?
Yeah, I just meant when you met him, I didn't know, since he was kind of weighing in on Chris Moll's program being abusive to the participants. I wonder what kinds of abuse recovery programs he is familiar with and what his, treatment modality or strategy is for that, or how much he even has experience with it.
I don't know. I'll ask him. I should probably go to bed, mommy. I keep falling asleep.
Okay.
I really do care about you, and I really am trying.
All right. I think that if you analyzed our phone calls, you might come to a different conclusion.
Okay. Well, I will spend some time doing that.
And I really do hope that you appreciate that the examples that I've told you about, your controlling behaviors, are not representative. Of what I've experienced.
Okay. Why did you use them if they're not representative?
Because I don't think that it's possible to capture the breadth. And I think a lot of them are not incidents that you can pinpoint with such a succinct explanation. And because I really don't like characterize your behavior very much. So when the coercion is carried out through the way that you deal with me psychologically, you know, over a 5-hour conversation we had late at night at one point, like, that's not something, that's not something that I can just rattle off in a list to you right now. Like, all those times that I had to leave the house and drive away in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Like, there were behaviors that you were doing that obviously, as great as my memory is, I didn't record the whole 5-hour conversation in my brain, and I can't recite it back to you right now. And I'm not just going to, like, slap a label on you and say you were, you know what I mean? Like, I was there, and it was abusive, and I experienced it, and you were being terrible to me. And it's kind of like in Aaron Bell's office last fall. It's kind of the same thing. Like, well, we didn't record those, and, well, I can't quote back the entire 2-hour counseling session to you, and I don't really want to, like, characterize or label it. But what you were doing was beyond the pale, and it was horrific, and it was psychologically manipulative, and it happened. It was real. And you were trying to control me, and it was about power for you, and it was not loving, and it certainly was not cherishing, and I don't think that there's anything anybody can say that's going to help you see that. If you can't see it, then you can't see it, you know?
I kind of dozed during some of that, but I will listen to it again when I review our phone calls.
Listen to what again?
What you just told me about.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I will listen to it again.
Okay.
Mommy-o.
Okay, bye.
I love you.
Okay, bye.